going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ball, two strikes to Jackson Holliday. Here comes Parker to the plate. Strike three called. Ring him up on the slider at the belt. And for the first time in his big league career, Mitchell Parker has finished 8 innings. And oh, by the way, it's 8 shutout innings, allowing only one hit. And he's retired 17 batters in a row.
Summed up nicely there on Nats Radio last night on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. How about Mitchell Parker? How about the lefty? He's mowing people down after 5 starts. His ERA is 1.39. Good morning, everybody. James Wood had 3 more hits. Dylan Cruz had another home run, his 3rd in 4 games. The Orioles' starting pitching is not very good. The Nats are pretty good in their starting rotation through 23 games so far. Good for them. 7-0. Nats beat the Orioles last night at the park. A draft-heavy show today. Not a baseball show today. A very much concentrated effort on the NFL draft, which comes tomorrow night. Night 1 and then night 2. Friday night, 2nd and 3rd rounds. And then you get 4 through 7. On Saturday, Adam Peters spoke yesterday. We will play some of that sound for you. The best part about Adam Peters is these press conferences are not, there's not a whole lot of information coming out. He's sweet. He's a nice guy. The presentation is fine, but you're not getting any information from him. But there were a couple of things that he said that we'll play for you on the show today. Logan Paulson will be with me at 11:25. We'll get Logan's thoughts on the draft. I'm waiting on potentially another guest to talk draft with us today as well. I've got thoughts today on wide receivers. So we've done running backs, we've done edge rushers. Today will be wide receivers. I'll do corners tomorrow. I'm not going to do offensive line, even though I think offensive line is a very good bet. I mean, it's definitely a possibility in this draft at 29. I'm just not going to pretend to be able to look at offensive linemen other than the physical part and the obvious part with a guy like Will Campbell, who's going to go at the top of the draft and tell you, you know, whether or not their footwork is good and their sets are accurate. You know, a lot of the other positions for most of us who are just fans, we know, you know, as fans, what a good receiver looks like, what a good edge rusher looks like, a good running back looks like. It's harder with offensive linemen. I think it is. Anyway, I'll do wide receivers today. I actually like a wide receiver a lot more than I've seen mocked in the first round. I also like a corner because I've already started to look at the corners a lot more than I've seen even on night 2. But this was somebody that I had a friend ask me to look at. And I watched 30 minutes of this dude. I can't believe that he's not mocked much higher than he is. Tomorrow's show, too, will feature final predictions on who Washington will take at 29. I got this from Will. Will writes, Kevin, I know there's no need to review the quarterbacks in the draft for obvious reasons, but you've said recently you really like Cam Ward. Where do you think he would have been drafted last year? After Caleb Williams, after Jaden Daniels, after Penix Jr., and probably after Drake May. But for me, it would have been before McCarthy and before Bo Nix. That would have been for me. I liked Penix Jr. a lot. Jaden and Caleb were 1-1A, and then I liked Penix Jr. even more than I liked Drake May. That's where I would have him. But let me just say, as it relates to the quarterbacks, and we don't have a reason to really talk about the quarterbacks, but if you're going to sit down and watch the draft tomorrow night, it's going to be like it always is, all about the quarterbacks. And the biggest story tomorrow night will be Shedeur Sanders. And will he get picked in the first round? And where will he get picked in the first round? And is it possible that he doesn't get picked in the first round? So quarterbacks are one of those things where, you know, you can't hit at more than a 50% rate, pretty much. I mean, it's 1 out of 3 on average. Last year was a great draft, at least in terms of rookie performances. Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Penix Jr. looked the part. We know that last year was encouraging in terms of the future. I really like Cam Ward. I've talked about Cam Ward all year long. I think everything he does at a level that's totally about what today's game is. I think he's got the arm. I think he's got the feel. I think he's got the quick release. I think he's got incredible mobility and playmaking ability. The only thing you might say about Cam Ward is that he's not super tall. He's on the shorter side for a quarterback. He's like 6'1", you know, maybe 6'2". But I like Cam Ward. He's really the only quarterback in the draft I like. I've talked all year. Denton and I talked all year when we were talking about college football. Going way back to the middle portion of the year, I said there's no way Shedeur Sanders is going to be the first quarterback taken. He holds it too long. He doesn't see it. He doesn't have great arm strength. I don't get it. He's a gamer. I'll give you that. You know, for a Colorado team that 2 years ago didn't have an offensive line, this year, you know, they did have talent, obviously. You know, they have a guy by the name of Travis Hunter that he was throwing to. But there's no way if Washington was in the quarterback market this year that I would be advocating for anybody other than Cam Ward. And the only way you'd get Cam Ward is if you have first overall. He's going to go first to Tennessee. I think they've already announced they're in. He's their guy. I like Cam Ward. I actually think Cam Ward's going to be a good NFL back. I think there's a really good chance that he ends up being a good back. The one thing is that at 6'1", and sometimes with the release, he plays at 6'1", rather than playing at 6'3", you know, or a little bit bigger. But I think he does everything at a high level, and I loved watching him in college, everywhere he's been in college, Washington State and Miami. I did not see him at, you know, Incarnate Word before he went to Washington State. Shedeur Sanders, I just don't see it. Haven't seen it at any point. Jackson Dart, to me, looks like a backup quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's got great arm strength, and I think you can get fooled by the Lane Kiffin system because people are always open. You know, to a certain extent, Jeff Brohm's system at Louisville is kind of similar. There just always seem to be people open. You know, Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback in Vegas, played for him at Purdue. I do like Tyler Shuck, though. I do think he is talented. He's also going to turn 26 years old. You know, I think he just finished basically his sixth or seventh year in college. But he's a big strapping dude that can make the throws. There were games, though, where you watched him this year, the Miami game in particular, where they needed big throws and he just didn't fire. I think he's probably a backup. Jalen Milroe is the most interesting because if you're going to go full dual threat and you're going to go full quarterback involved in 11-on-11 in the run game, well, you're talking about an elite runner. I mean, I think he's Lamar Jackson as a runner coming out, but he's so unpolished compared to Jackson. And Jackson wasn't polished coming out as a quarterback. Jalen Milroe has major issues at the NFL level, at least early on, if you're going to ask him to throw from the pocket. But if you're going to turn him into a running back at the quarterback position, that would be interesting to watch because he's an elite runner. I just don't know. You know, you got to be committed to that. You got to be committed to that style of football. The other quarterbacks in the draft, I like the dude from Indiana, Curtis Rourke, big dude. He played really well this year for Indiana. Got hurt, you know, later in the year. Dylan Gabriel may be the smartest and the fastest processor of any quarterback in the draft, but he's 5'10". He's just too tiny. I do like Will Howard from Ohio State, and I liked him when he transferred to Ohio State from K-State. There's something about watching him that says he's a gamer and that he's smart, but still probably more of a backup, although, you know, could he end up being a more athletic version of Kirk Cousins because of his, you know, brain and his processing? Maybe. Quinn Ewers, you can have. Kyle McCord, I couldn't stand him at Ohio State. He played much better this year at Syracuse. The quarterbacks, God, thank God. I mean, finally, something went this organization's way. Finally. Getting a high pick in a draft that had elite-level quarterbacks. Because this year, for me, Cam Ward is the only quarterback worth taking in the first round. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I've seen the number at 2.5. The over-under on quarterbacks is 2.5. I would probably wager on under and probably be wrong because the desperation for quarterbacks is there. And the teams, you know, you've probably seen all of these, you know, mock drafts in terms of, you know, the quarterbacks, right? And the teams that need them. So Tennessee is going to take a quarterback. Cleveland and the Giants both need quarterbacks, but they appear to not feeling strongly enough about Shedeur Sanders or anybody else to take him at number 2 or number 3 in the draft. You know, Hunter is going to go 2 to Cleveland, Abdul Carter 3 to the Giants. That's what most people believe. Then you don't get a quarterback need legitimately, like real need, most people feel, until number 9, although you could argue the Jets might need one. You don't know Justin Fields is going to be the answer, but are the Saints going to take a quarterback there, and would it be Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. If it's not New Orleans, then you go to Pittsburgh at 21. If Shedeur Sanders gets by New Orleans at 9 and Pittsburgh at 21, he's getting picked in the second round. But I guess at that point, from Washington's standpoint, that's the thing to root for tomorrow night, is to root for Shedeur Sanders and any other quarterback to get to the 20s. And by the way, you probably have to get by the Rams because there's a lot of conversation that they're going to be looking at quarterback too because of Matt Stafford's age and the contract, you know, struggles they've had with him. That's one thing to root for is Sanders and Dart and Tyler Shuck not to get picked when you get to 29 and have a Cleveland or a New York, you know, in the second round decide they want to jump up and, you know, give you something for moving into the first round to take that quarterback if you're looking, you know, to trade back. And Washington may be looking to trade back. Cam Ward to me is the only first-round quarterback, that my opinion, for whatever it's worth, in this draft. And last year, I think that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., and Drake May would have all been picked in front of Cam Ward. But I think Cam Ward's good, man. I think Tennessee's getting a guy that has a real chance. A real chance. The one thing about him is just once we get to see him at the NFL level, is his height an issue? He's not, you know, he's not Russell Wilson. He's not Kyler Murray. He is listed at 6'1.5", but, you know, not a big strapping dude. But I'll tell you what, man, he has a quick release. He throws the ball well. He makes plays off schedule so naturally. He's just an athlete and a feel athlete. You know, I don't want to compare him to like Jackson or a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Jaden Daniels as a scrambler, but he's got the feel like that they have. Like, he knows where the pressure's coming from. He knows where his escape is. He's got really good athletic vision and feel in space. I like him a lot. The one knock on Cam Ward during the course of the year is that he would try to make the big play too often. You know, part of that, you know, that was Jaden Daniels to a certain degree, right? And it's interesting because Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and even Cam Ward in this draft. One of the criticisms of all three of those quarterbacks was sometimes they just waited and tried to make the big play, the hero play, as it's described. And the reason for all three of them playing that way, and it's totally accurate, is all three of them played on teams that had horrendous defenses. USC and LSU 2 years ago, and last year Miami. Just terrible defensive teams where the quarterbacks knew that if you came off the field and the punter came on, you were going to be down another 6 or 7 the next time you walked onto the field. And that's why, you know, Jaden made some of the plays and tried to make some of the plays that he made at LSU. Same with Caleb Williams. Although with Caleb, you saw a lot of that in his rookie season in Chicago as well. Same with Cam Ward. But that would be, for me, he'd be the only dude. If Washington were in this draft, this would be tough. This would be so tough. Because we'd be talking about that 2022 draft with Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis, right? By the way, Sam Howell. Did I mention this recently? I don't know if I mentioned this or not. The Seahawks are looking to trade Sam Howell. They have not found an interested party as of now. Let me just say that if Sam Howell's career ends here in the next year or two, that will surprise me. Because I know some of you who have let me know that Sam Howell's trading expected me to be gleeful in some way. No, I just didn't like him as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I always thought he had the moxie, the arm, and the athleticism to be a career backup, you know, somewhere. If his career kind of flames out here over the next year or two, that will surprise me. I thought there was enough there, not a lot there, but enough there, in 2023 to at least give him a chance to be a backup somewhere. But that draft in 2022, Kenny Pickett at 20, then that was it until the third round. Malik Willis, remember, was a guy that people thought might go in the first round. I actually thought Malik Willis's tape at Liberty was awesome. Dead wrong on him. Desmond Ridder, I was not a fan of Desmond Ridder. A lot of people were. Malik Willis, the kid from Ole Miss, and then Bailey Zappe, Sam Howell, right? And then Brock Purdy, of course, in the final pick of the 7th round. This draft feels like it, man. God, it feels terrible for quarterbacks, except there's one at the top of the draft that absolutely would be a first-rounder even in a draft like last year. To answer the question, Cam Ward would have been a definite first-round pick last year. It's just a matter of where would he have gone. I've heard some people say that he would have been the last quarterback, that he would have gone after Knicks. For me, it would have been, you know, Jaden and Caleb, Drake May and Penix Jr., and then Cam Ward. But I would have thought about Cam Ward in the Drake May, Penix Jr., because I thought there was a big difference between Daniels, Williams, and what was next. I liked Penix Jr. Before I liked Drake May. But Drake May played well last year, and they have the ability to put a team around him, too, here over the next couple of years. It'll be interesting to see how good he ends up being. There were a couple of other emails. Oh, this from Nick P. Sheehan, hated your edge rusher convo. I'm a Penn State grad, and Abdul Carter will be better than Micah Parsons. And by the way, his perfect pro comp is Micah Parsons. Also, if Shamar Stewart slips into the early 20s, Washington should be aggressive and attempt to trade up for him. He's arguably the best athlete in the draft. You sounded like me a couple of times there. I like Abdul Carter. I just don't think he's Miles Garrett as a prospect coming out. I don't think he's Chase Young as a prospect coming out. That was my only point. I like Abdul Carter a lot. I think Micah Parsons is a good comp for him. But if you told me, you know, I actually liked Micah Parsons coming out more than I liked Abdul Carter, than I like Abdul Carter now. But I like Abdul Carter. I do. I like him a lot. I just was comparing him to generational players and talents, the way they were viewed coming out. And Miles Garrett and Chase Young were considered, you know, generational, you know, talents and players. And Miles Garrett's turned into one. You know, I said I think that, you know, the Nick Bosas and the Joey Bosas, that he's right there and maybe even above them as a prospect. But I like Abdul Carter. The Shamar Stewart thing, look, I think I said this yesterday when I was doing the defensive, doing the edges. He is a tremendous athlete, you know? Tremendous athlete. But he's like a straight line, doesn't have great kind of football, you know, sense. That's what you see when you watch Shamar Stewart, and that's probably the reason that he didn't have more than a sack and a half in a season. You have to take that into consideration. I know that there's a lot of wide-ranging opinions on Shamar Stewart. The dude tested like Montez Sweat did. Montez Sweat was off the charts athletically. I loved Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat was a better football player in college than Shamar Stewart. He just was. But athletically, kind of the same thing. When you watch Shamar Stewart, you know, you watch number four at Texas A&M, he's like, sometimes he's powerful, he's athletic, and yet he can't find the quarterback. It's very straight line speed. I used to say this all the time about Robert Griffin III, which is like the comparison was a terrible comparison when people said Jaden Daniels is athletic like RG3. RG3 was a straight line athlete. He did not have great peripheral, which is why he always got hit. He didn't see it coming. He could outrun people. There's no doubt about that. Give him daylight, he's going to outrun everybody, but he didn't have good feel. And then, by the way, he was such an awkward guy when he, you know, got surprised by being hit. You know, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, Jaden Daniels, eyes in the everywhere on their head. They see it coming from everywhere. There's just incredible athletic vision. And when you watch Shamar Stewart, I don't see the athletic vision. I see a straight line, unbelievable, fast, athletic player. But he had pressures, okay? It's not like he didn't get pressure, but he never could close, in part because he just didn't have a feel for where the quarterback would end up. I don't want that Washington to take Shamar Stewart. There are better football players than Shamar Stewart. I think because he tested so outrageously at the combine, I think he's not going to make it to 29. But I'd be worried if they took him. There are players that are better overall football players than him. You know, that's one of those things, too. Does coaching really turn you into, you know, something that I think is more innate and feel? I don't think when you're a straight line and you can't find the quarterback and you don't have a good feel for space, is that something you coach up? I don't think so. I think it's more of a natural thing. So That's, to me, like one of those incredible Indy Combine athletic guys, and he looks unbelievable in the uniform. But, you know, give me Landon Jackson. Give me Donovan Azaruco, certainly as a pass, pure pass rusher, for sure. Give me Mike Green. I mean, Mike Green, to me, along with Carter, are the two that really stand out as, like, surefire, like as surefire as it gets. We don't know anything, obviously. You know, I like, as I mentioned, I like Mykel Williams. I do. There's, you know, the long arms are ridiculous. Like, there's a lot there to like about, you know, the player that we're looking for, too, I think, is a player that can also be on the field on first and second to stop the run. I don't think Ezeraku's that right now. What else did I write down? All right, yeah, that's kind of it. Oh, this from Carlos. My favorite player in the draft is Jaden Daniels. The pick last year was worth 2 years of picks. Yes, Carlos, that is true. They got the one that mattered the most. I mean, I think I was talking to Nikki about this yesterday, Nikki Javala, who was on the show, and it is true. Like, we're so into the draft as NFL fans, and it's a great television show. And it's great television shows leading up to the draft. It's all great stuff. But, you know, 35% basically is an average hit rate in terms of the percentage of players that you pick that will end up being contributing players, not even great players, just contributing players on your roster 3 years later. Like, a really good hit rate's like 40%, 39-40%. The people that do this for a living, you know, get it right, you know, in a really good draft 39-40% of the time. And most of the players that get drafted in a given year aren't going to contribute right away. You know, Washington had one of those rare cases in which a rookie quarterback, you know, not only played at a high level, but it didn't take him long to get to playing to a high level. It wasn't, you know, he was learning the ropes in the first quarter of the season. Then when we approached, you know, first half of the season, you could start to see him get comfortable. And then, man, by the time we got to the last four or five games, you could tell they got it right. That's not what happened. After the Tampa game in the opener, he was elite the rest of the way. That's rare. You know, to take a guy like Mikey Sanristil as a rookie, who you projected to be an inside guy, but you're forced to play him on the outside, and for him to play at the level he played at is, you know, more unusual. You know, Coleman got a bunch of reps last year and played well. Johnny Newton at times. But the bottom line is, you know, of the nine players they picked, you know, you basically had three and a half meaningful contributors out of the nine last year. Jaden, Sanristil, Coleman, and then Newton for, you know, whatever number of games. And how many sacks did Johnny Newton have? I don't even know. He had at least one, didn't he, last year? I like Johnny Newton. I think that's, but you look at, you're not judging Johnny Newton or Ben Sinnott or Luke McCaffrey or Jordan McGee on last year. You can't do it that way. You got to judge him, those players, on what they do this year and next year. My point being is that if Washington only selects the players that they have picks for, five, you know, especially where they're picking at 29 in a draft that appears to be super, super heavy at the top with like three or four players. And then there's like from players four or five to 60, there's just a lot of, you know, differing opinions. More likely than not, all of this effort and all of the fun we're having, and it's fun, and it's a great television show. Thursday night's one of the best nights of the year. But next year's team is basically what you see unless they were to pull off a big trade, you know, for a Jalen Ramsey or a Trey Hendrickson. Washington's team in 2025, the team they have, was, as Carlos wrote, was formulated and the outcome determined a year ago in the first round when they picked Jaden Daniels and got it right at quarterback. All right. Adam Peters had some things to say. I wanted quickly, because I did watch Lakers-Timberwolves last night. I think it's painful to watch Luka Doncic, and I'll explain why when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Just the reverse in the first half. Two entirely different ballgames. First down, Maryland at the 32. Reich to throw again off of play action. Throwing deep, and he's got a man out there. Hill! Greg Hill on the tip, and it's a touchdown!
That, the voice of Mike Patrick. Back in November of 1984, Frank Reich to Greg Hill to give Maryland a lead in the Orange Bowl against Miami. Not the actual bowl game, but the stadium, the Orange Bowl, in what was at the time the largest comeback in college football history. Maryland was down 31-0 at halftime, came back and beat Bernie Kosar. Jimmy Johnson was the coach of that Miami team, 42-40. Why did I play that? Mike Patrick passed away at the age of 80 over the weekend. He, of course, for you know, Sunday night football for 18 years on ESPN, college hoops, college college football, just an incredible, you know, voice of a generation for especially college sports fans. Now, he did a lot of NFL with Joe T and guys on Sunday night football. He was just so good doing everything. And he started actually in this market in the 70s at Channel 7 and did sports at Channel 7 and then did Maryland basketball and Maryland football games that were, you know, televised that weren't nationally televised games or not part of an ACC network game. The call you just heard was when Mike Patrick was the voice of ACC football. 36 years, a play-by-play guy for ESPN, 18 years as the NFL voice for Sunday Night Football. He passed away from natural causes, according to his family, over the weekend at 80 years old. Always thought that Mike Patrick was one of the best. Holy cow was his signature call. He was great to hear a lot of or read a lot of people talking about him, those people that worked with him. Man, you know, Joe Theismann on Twitter, Jay Billis, guys like that. They loved Mike Patrick. Always thought he was one of the easiest to listen to, one of the solid technical play-by-play guys, and very, very likable on the air. Rest in peace, Mike Patrick. All right. So real quickly, and we'll play some Adam Peters for you coming up here shortly. Last night in the NBA playoffs, I will just do this, you know, until we get to the real meaningful games. I'll spend just a couple of minutes on the games. The Lakers beat the Timberwolves 94-85 to even up their series one game apiece. Another late night of watching hoops for me. It'll be another late night tonight, too, because Warriors-Rockets game two will be awesome. I just am not a Luka fan. I appreciate the shot maker that he is, the scorer that he is. He's all time as a scorer. Like, he's in the top three in terms of playoff averages, points per game, of all time. Like, with, like, Wilt and Michael. He is an incredible offensive player. Great at not just shot making, but playmaking. Because he will, when he draws a defense to you, he will make great passes. He had a highlight pass last night. 31 points last night, 9 assists, 12 rebounds in the Lakers' win to even up the series against Minnesota. But God, is it painful sometimes to watch Luka from so many different, you know, angles. And by the way, I'm not sitting here backing Nico Harrison for trading him, although I could understand some of the reasons for trading him, but the guy was an all-time favorite for Dallas fans. And for Nico Harrison, if we haven't talked about this, to say publicly that he didn't recognize or realize how much Luka was beloved by Dallas fans, somebody really should tell him to stop talking. That's another subject altogether. But Luka Doncic can only excel, it would appear, in a pure kind of ISO offense. I counted last night 10 possessions where there was one person offensively that touched the basketball for the Lakers, and that was Luka Doncic. I can't imagine that LeBron loves this playing style. LeBron's assist totals have gone down since Luka joined the team. Part of it is because Luka's dominating the ball. But for a high IQ player like LeBron to just stand there and watch number 77 dribble the air out of the ball, and by the way, more times than not, make a shot at the end of it. I'm not knocking the offensive skill or the prowess or the productivity, but man, it is painful to watch. James Harden, the same thing. I don't know how old school basketball coaches can sit there and watch that kind of basketball and enjoy it. You can enjoy the skill level because Luka's skill is beyond description. You know, both things are true. He is one of the most skilled scorers and playmakers of the day, and he may be, by the time he's done, all time. but he thrives in total ISO, everybody stands around basketball. Sometimes it turns into two-man, but it defensively, you got to guard him, and you got to think about doubling him. And but other than that, you're standing around defensively. When you don't make a defense work, it's hard to win 4 out of 7 consistently, in my opinion. Last year, he got to the finals, man. Hard to knock it. He got to the finals, you know, and had Kyrie Irving on the team too, and they had some real defensive stoppers. He is also a horrible defender, in part because he's just not interested in it at all. I actually think because of his size, you know, and at 6'7 or whatever he is and 240, I actually don't think he moves his feet so badly, but he's just not interested. And then a lot of times he's a total non-participant defensively because he's arguing on the one end of the floor in which he didn't get a foul. When you watch the replay, he's wrong, honestly, 90% of the time. He's a serial complainer. And they got two of them on that team with LeBron and Luka. I mean, it is tough to watch, man. This is maybe a little bit of old man get off my lawn talk, but I can't watch that much ISO basketball and enjoy it. I can enjoy the shots he makes and, you know, watching a painful possession end in incredible high-level skill. I just don't know how LeBron could like it. I do not see the Lakers getting to the NBA Finals. I just don't see it. They don't guard well enough with Luka on the floor and with LeBron now at 40. And they just don't make you work hard enough. I think they could easily lose this series to Minnesota. Minnesota's, I think, you know, I wonder why J.J. Redick has settled for this. They were not, I don't think, as much of an ISO team before Luka arrived. Austin Reeves is a good player. LeBron's a smart player. Rui's played really well. You know, guys like Finney Smith and Vanderbilt off the bench, you know, they have some stuff, but, oh, Luka. Just not for me, man. It just has never, ever been for me. The constant bitching and complaining is so off-putting, but the 10-plus possessions a game where just one player is going to touch a basketball, the basketball, on a possession is hard to watch. Despite the fact that what's also true is he is an incredibly high-skilled scorer. All time. I was talking to Tommy about this yesterday on my podcast. You know, people like my sons who say, like, stop talking about the players from the 80s, you know, and 90s, and, you know, how great Larry Bird was. I got that from my youngest son the other day when he said, I mean, come on, like, Larry Bird in today's game. And I'm like, you know what? All you got to do is watch Luka Doncic and watch how productive he is in today's game. Because if Larry Bird Larry Bird is not an ISO and wasn't an ISO player. There was no real ISO basketball in the 80s. You know, there was five-man basketball in the 80s offensively, especially when you got into, you know, half court. You didn't have as much of the one person with the basketball. I mean, Dennis Johnson didn't cross half court without Ainge, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish touching the ball on that next possession. But Bird, Luka's, you know, physical stature and his style of play with respect to his skill offensively, not the style, that's the wrong way to describe it, the skill, is why you could absolutely, you know, take Bird and plop him down in 2025. Now, he wouldn't be able to guard anybody. By the way, he couldn't really guard people back then. Luka can't guard anybody, but offensively, with the stretching of the floor on threes, Bird would have been a prolific, deep range, 6'9" three-point shooter. He's taller than Luka. Whenever you hear, and Tommy mentioned this to me on my podcast yesterday, whenever you hear people talk about Bird from that era, you know what they say in addition to his greatness and his trash talking and all that? Is the people that say that they remember the first time they were on a floor with Larry Bird is what struck them is just how big he was. And that's something that you don't think about. But he was 6'9". Larry Bird was a big, tall dude. He absolutely could play today. Again, who would he guard? I don't know. Who can Luka guard? There are a lot of players you can say that about, but Bird would be a prolific and highly skilled offensive player. And I think Luka's a really good passer. Don't get me wrong. I think he's an excellent passer. You know, off of ISO basketball when, you know, he feels the double and the defense converging on him. He has great vision. I mean, really good. But Bird's the greatest forward or larger passer of all time. I think Magic's the greatest passer in my lifetime of watching basketball, but Magic, even though he was 6'9", Magic was a guard. Magic was a point guard. Bird as a forward or center, Bird's the best passer of those two position groups of all time. Magic is the greatest passer, period, I think, in my lifetime of watching basketball. All right. When we come back, we'll talk some Adam Peters, what he said yesterday. Logan Paulson's going to join us at 11:25. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. By the way, the show is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Open up the app, go to the Team 980 YouTube page, open up the app, type in Team 980, that's the Odyssey app, or you can just go to the Team 980 YouTube page, hit the subscribe button. I'm streaming every day 10 to 1, Craig is streaming every day 4 to 7, hit the subscribe button for us, that really helps us out. Also, hit the like button, all right? Like the stream as well, that's big for us. Also, thank you for that. Back after this.
All right. Last night, the Nats got a convincing win over the Baltimore Orioles. Mitchell Parker had a career outing, pitching 8 shutout innings. They continue their series tonight right here on Team 980, pregame at 6:15. Anthony Edwards has been fined $50,000 for shouting at a fan, "My bleep is bigger than yours." He did not say bleep. He has been fined over $370,000 total this season. The Steelers have re-signed Jalen Warren to a one-year restricted free agent tender. Speaking of the Steelers, Shedeur Sanders was asked for his Mount Rushmore of NFL duos on Max Crosby's podcast. He said Brady and Gronk, Rodgers and Devontae, and whoever the quarterback throwing to Pickens and Metcalf is this year. Interesting nuggets always this time of year. The Caps tonight will take on Montreal in Game 2 of their playoff series. Alexi Protas was seen skating on the ice this morning prior to morning skate. This time, wearing a full contact jersey, he could be ready to go in the very near future. Logan Thompson, the first goaltender off the ice at practice this morning, he's likely to get the start. Pre-game at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1. Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That was Adam Peters yesterday held his draft presser with Lance Newmark, and he was asked about, you know, when you have the quarterback position solved, how it sort of opens up the draft board for other positions. And yeah, it's a lot more comfortable to approach a draft when you know you have that position nailed down and you know you've got a team that has a chance to be good. That was Adam Peters yesterday. Look, overall, I didn't watch it. I was doing my podcast during his thing, but I will tell you that I read through the transcript and I talked to a few people. He's really good at not saying a whole lot, but I picked a couple of sound bites out to play because I've been talking a lot about last year's draft. You know, I think that's a big thing that we get wrapped up into the players that have played college football and look back on last year's draft and forget about the players that they took that didn't necessarily produce as rookies, but most rookies don't produce at a high level, but some of those players may end up being big-time producers in the future. We, you know, we've pointed out guys like Ben Sinnott, you know, Newton, McCaffrey, Jordan McGee, who was hurt, and we know that they liked Jordan McGee. He was asked about the expectations this season for some of last year's picks, Johnny Newton, Ben Sinnott, and Jordan McGee. Here's what he said.
John Keim, ESPN. Looking before we turn to this year, looking back at last year's class, because as Dan said, you know, guys take that year one to year two jump, and with only five picks, a lot of the improvement is going to come from that group. So I'm curious if you could talk about it, both you guys could talk about a couple guys in particular about the expectations for this year, Jerzan, Ben Sinnott, and then Jordan McGee.
Yeah, those guys, it's cool that you asked about those three because all three of them have been here working in this building for quite some time. You know, even we just started today with the off-season program, but they've been working their tails off really for the last couple of months. I see them in here almost every day. So really excited about each of their future. You know, they're the right types of guys. They're the guys we want. They're commanders. Yeah. And so I think you'll see a big jump in each and every one of those guys play this year.
Yeah, I would echo that. They're three guys that are extremely dedicated to getting better. Like you said, they're commanders. They've worked really hard this offseason to improve, you know, physically, mentally, every part of the game. They want to be contributors next year, and they're doing everything they can to do that. So they're definitely wired the right way, and they've worked really hard to be in position to do that.
I love these guys. I love what they're doing in the front office. But for some of us, and I know it's more than just some of us, nails on a chalkboard to hear their commanders. I do think that last year's draft is going to produce at some point this coming season with somebody. You know, Luke McCaffrey, when he was on the field, was open more than he was thrown to. Jordan McGee, they loved. Ben Sinnott looked like Cooley, you know, coming out, you know, from Kansas State. And Johnny Newton was the best defensive player in the Big Ten at Illinois. And then, you know, had the injuries, had the foot, you know, issues. And look, they need better play along their defensive front. John didn't ask about Javonte Jean-Baptiste, but I've been told a couple of times by various people, they actually think he's got a real chance. We'll see, as a D-end. But that's where maybe the contribution from young players comes from in 2025, is last year's draft. This was Adam Peters talking about potentially trading back in the draft.
We talked about this at the owner's meetings a little bit, and you really opened everything.
Not in the middle of it. Just
if the right moves up. If Abdul Carter falls to 27, I might want to try to move up two and get him. But I mean, if there's a great player that we want to sit and pick, we'll do that. But if there's an opportunity to move back, then we're certainly open to that too. You know, with five picks, like you said, that's something you'd like to do, is add picks. But you always have to have somebody who wants to come up too, and we'll find that out. We're making those calls this week, and we'll have an idea of who wants to come up, and if we want to do that, and we'll also have an idea of who wants to move back in the first round ahead of us, and so we'll know what we can do there.
Yeah, I don't think Abdul Carter is falling to 27 overall. But if a player like that fell enough, I'd have no problem if they got aggressive and went up to get him. But you'd have to wonder why a player of that caliber was falling. Look, they're gonna look to add more picks in this draft, because almost anybody you talk to says that essentially, you know, after the first few players in this draft, you know, the quarterback Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, that basically in Ashton Jeanty, really, that after that group, you know, you got like 50 to 60 players that are all, you know, kind of super close. So you'd rather have more swings at it than fewer swings at it. The idea being, at 29, are you going to get an outlier player? Are you going to get somebody that clearly has a much higher first round grade on him than a lot of the other players that might be there? So it'd be, that'd be the best case for them to tomorrow night, is to trade back and end up taking a swing at, you know, six players or maybe seven players in this draft rather than just five. There were a couple of other things he said. We'll play those things for you. Logan Paulson at 11:25. Stanford Steve from ESPN will jump on with us at noon. We'll talk draft with them. I've got my receivers, at least observations, that I'll share with you. Lots on the draft today. Kevin Sheehan showed the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.